Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Monday, March 15th, and I am your host, Nathaniel E. Baker. Our top stories today: most valuable startup, crypto ban, what's next for stocks. Leading today's news: most valuable startup, digital payments giant Stripe is raising $600 million in new funding at a $95 billion valuation. This makes it the most valuable startup in the U.S. It's nearly triple the $36 billion valuation Stripe secured last April, when it raised another $600 million from investors including Andreessen Horowitz and Sequoia Capital. Investors in this round include Alliance, Fidelity, and Baillie Gifford, as well as the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Ireland, which is the home country of Stripe founders John and Patrick Collison. Backdrop: Stripe was founded in 2010 by two Irish siblings, whose net worth jumped to $11.4 billion each with this latest valuation. The company's software, which competes with PayPal and Square, is used by businesses to accept online payments and has been a big beneficiary of the e-commerce boom accelerated by the coronavirus pandemic. Customers include Amazon, Instacart, Salesforce, and Lyft. Stripe is, quote, highly capital efficient and didn't really need the money in spite of the fundraising, CFO Divya Suryadevara declared. Quote, I view this as a bit more opportunistic, end quote, she said in an interview on Sunday. Quote, it will just sit on the balance sheet, end quote, added Mike Moritz, partner at Sequoia and a Stripe board member, emphasizing that the money will be used as a rainy day fund. Some of the capital will also be invested in Stripe's European operation and in its dual headquarters in Dublin. Outlook: while Stripe isn't focused on an initial public offering right now, both Suryadevara and Moritz said the company will continue to seek out acquisitions. In December, the company branched out to offer checking accounts to businesses through e-commerce providers, inking partnerships with banks including Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. Could a ban happen in the U.S.? Bitcoin hit a record of $60,000 on Saturday, nearly doubling its value this year, as the Beeple NFT sale continued to draw attention to the cryptocurrency. Prices then pulled back 7% to the $56,000 level on reports that India would propose a law banning cryptos, giving holders of the virtual assets up to 6 months to liquidate. The bill, one of the world's strictest policies against cryptocurrencies, would criminalize everything from possession, issuance, and mining to trading and transferring crypto assets. Why is India doing this? It's not the first nation to take action against Bitcoin, with similar bans or restrictions seen in countries like China, India, Pakistan, Russia, Bolivia, North Macedonia, and Morocco. There are concerns that Bitcoin's decentralized system will make it more complicated for central banks to create their own central bank digital currencies, as well as worries that cryptos could be used to finance illicit activities. CBDCs are a promising tool that will allow central banks to have real-time data about their economies, offering the ability to track money flows, spending, and savings data, and what sectors are suffering or doing well. Leaving privacy concerns aside, a central bank could be more informed on monetary policy when armed with that information, while the government could possibly link future stimulus payments, universal basic income, or fiscal policy to CBDCs. Many Americans are unaware that it was illegal to own gold from 1934 to 1974, though the prohibitions were relaxed in 1964. During that time, a U.S. citizen couldn't own or trade gold anywhere in the world, with exceptions of some jewelry and collector's coins, as the federal government and banks shored up their financial soundness. Turning back to cryptos, the Secret Service and IRS have already worked with Coinbase and with exchanges to hold private crypto wallet keys, while the U.S. Marshals Service has seized and auctioned many a Bitcoin. What would happen if the U.S. government or Fed felt threatened by the rise of decentralized banking? What if it interfered with their plan for CBDCs? Go deeper. Bringing forth a Bitcoin ban could be legally difficult for the U.S. government, but even if it would go through, enforcing the ban would be the hardest part of the equation. Unless the government would exert strict control over the internet, individuals could download Bitcoin wallet software, run a node, and complete transactions. That may render the currency out of the realm of widespread adoption, but it could also increase its demand for the exact same reason. Over the last decade, Bitcoin has also made inroads into the U.S. financial system, where it is treated as a commodity, so a ban could face other barriers like stymieing innovation and closing down institutions overseeing billions of dollars in crypto assets. What's next for stocks? Futures contracts linked to the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are starting the week up about 0.4%, as the debate over whether a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill will prompt a serious pickup in inflation. Bond yields are turning lower for now, with the 10-year Treasury yield down 2 basis points to 1.61%, suggesting a positive start to the week for equities, especially the hard-hit tech sector. A wide rollout of COVID-19 vaccinations in the U.S. is also helping stoke a bullish sentiment. Analysts talk, quote, "Most market participants and policymakers have been surprised by the speed of the recovery. On our estimates, the U.S. economy will reach pre-COVID-19 output levels by the current quarter," end quote. So said Chetan Aya, global head of economics at Morgan Stanley in New York. Quote, "Fiscal policy is doing much more than fill the output hole. Transfers to households have already exceeded the income lost in the recession. As reopenings gather pace, the labor market is poised for a sharp rebound," end quote. Past estimates suggest part of the coming $1,400 in direct stimulus payments could find its way into the stock market, though this time around it is joined by some concerns. Rising inflation expectations could persuade the Fed to signal it will start raising rates sooner when it announces its latest economic projections at the end of the FOMC meeting on Wednesday. SPACs catch attention of short sellers. One of the hottest growth areas on Wall Street, special purpose acquisition companies, is becoming a target for short sellers, the Wall Street Journal reports. In fact, the dollar value of bearish bets against shares of SPACs has more than tripled to about $2.7 billion from $724 million at the start of the year, according to data from S3 Partners. Some examples: Social Finance, SoFi, is a popular target, with 19% of its outstanding SPAC shares sold short. Short interest in Churchill Capital Corp. IV, a SPAC that is merging with EV startup Lucid Motors, more than doubled in March to about 5% of outstanding shares. Others are wagering against companies after they combine with SPACs, like Muddy Waters' bet against XL Fleet. Shares of Lordstown Motors also stumbled 17% on Friday after Hindenburg Research released a report saying the EV startup misled investors on its orders and production. Go deeper. The dangers of shorting were made clear in recent months when recent traders organized on social media to push up stocks like GameStop. continued strong investor demand for SPACs could catch short sellers in a similar squeeze. Shorting can also be risky because SPAC shares have a price floor of $10 and they are prone to sharp price moves. AstraZeneca vaccine scare. Concerns are growing over a coronavirus vaccine from AstraZeneca, which was once anticipated to be the mainstay of protection for much of the globe. The jab developed with the University of Oxford does not need to be kept at ultra-low temperatures and costs about $4 a dose compared to the $20 per dose from Pfizer and $33 per dose from Moderna's shot. But controversy has erupted as more countries limit AstraZeneca's use, and scientists warn of the need for governments to tread carefully. What happened? Over the weekend, the Netherlands joined a growing list of about a dozen countries, including Italy, Ireland, Denmark, and Norway, moving to suspend the shot over concerns about possible side effects. While regulators said there was no indication of any direct link with the vaccine, reports of serious blood clotting triggered suspensions stretching as far as Thailand, though some have already resumed its usage. AstraZeneca is defending its vaccine, saying in a statement that more than 17 million doses have been administered in Europe and the UK with no evidence of an increased risk of pulmonary embolism. So far, across the EU and Britain, there have been 15 events of DVT, that's deep vein thrombosis, and 22 events of pulmonary embolism. That is based on the number of cases registered as of March 8th and is lower than the hundreds of cases that would be expected among the general population. What else is happening? Does daylight savings time affect the stock market? New titles at Tesla. Techno King and Master of Coin. Roche buys COVID test maker Genmark. China's economic activity surged at the start of 2021. Google faces a $5 billion lawsuit over internet tracking. ARK Invest buys 3D systems on the post-earnings dip. Big Pharma is one of the best pockets of value in the market, according to a Barron's article. Turning to today's markets, in Asia, Japan, the Nikkei in Japan is up about 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up about 0.3%. Stock markets in China and India are lower. China about 1% lower and India down about 0.8%. In Europe at midday, the FTSE in London is up about 0.3%. The CAC in Paris up about 0.4%. And the DAX in Frankfurt is up about 0.2%. Turning to the U.S., Dow futures are up about 0.3%. The S&P is up about 0.2%, same as NASDAQ. Gold futures are 0.3% higher. Silver is about 0.9% higher. And crude oil is roughly flat. Cryptos, Bitcoin is down about 7% to around 56,300. The 10-year treasury yield is down 2 basis points to around 1.61%. Today's economic calendar, at 8:30 a.m., the Empire State Manufacturing Survey, and at 4 p.m., Treasury International Capital. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate it and review it. Your feedback is greatly appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.